So you want to follow Jesus, do you? Well, you're going to have to find out sooner or later that he's going to take you to some place that you're probably not going to want to go. Listen, following King Jesus is going to take you into very uncomfortable places, into unsafe places. And it's going to require surrender. It's going to cost you something. Ultimately, it's going to cost you everything. To be honest, at times, it might cost you a whole lot more than what you thought. Now, we've lived that. Many of you are living that today. And we've seen it within our own lives. We've seen it within our own ministry. So what does it actually mean to be a disciple? Well, my friend, we're going to be getting off into that today. You're going to love this show today. But first, I want to show you something. In a few minutes, you're going to hear about a conference that our team is hosting down in Panama, dun, 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 Panama. One of the guest speakers is an incredible woman, rescuer, a disciple. Watch this.
Are you coming to the tree? Is drawing up a man? They say we run afraid. Strange things have happened here. Stranger would it be? We met and did. Not in the hanging tree. Are you coming to the tree?
Man, I cannot wait to talk more about her and the conference that she is going to be speaking at that we are hosting. You know what? It's going to be amazing. So hang tight. We're going to get there. But first, welcome to episode number 180. What is 180? It's the turnaround. That's what that is. And guys, today is episode 180 here on The Pulse. And it is September the 2nd. And you know what that is? That's 9-2. So let's look at Psalms 9, verse 2. That couldn't be more fitting than today. It says this. I will be glad and I will rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. You know what, guys? We're going to be declaring his praises today. We're going to be sharing some incredible testimonies, some breakthroughs that we're on the verge of. I've got some special guests here with me today. I believe that God has a fresh word for you today, just for you, for you. So be listening. Joining me here today. My very good friend, Miss Shea Wilbur. How are you?
Pastor, did we bring the energy for you today?
Yeah, man, you did. You did. Let's see.
I'm energy friend with me. So we're bringing all the, we'll see in a second who else is here. But
well, I just got through doing Nino's Corner, that podcast.
Mm-hmm, that was awesome this morning.
And, hey, man, I want to ask everybody, be in prayer for Nino. His dad is 92 years old and he's passing away. And Nino is a great guy. And if you guys don't know his podcast, check him out. He's a conservative, yada, yada, yada. He's a brand new Christian and has recently given has rededicated his life to the Lord Jesus. Has a little bit of a potty mouth, so be advised. But a lot of my friends do. Most of my pastors here at Open Door Church have a little bit of a potty mouth.
I think we just heard a story of someone's kids repeating a word they heard in our church at school.
Everybody blames me. Okay, look, I will get excited sometimes. Oh, there's only been two times. I mean, I've literally had dreams that I was preaching to thousands of people and I said a bad word. I've literally said that.
It's a fear that you carry.
Well, I know I'm fully capable of it. And like, well, there's Pastor Troy, you would never cuss. Oh, you don't know me. I would cuss. Now, I have never heard. I've never even heard Leanna say damn one time. And I mean, I've been with that woman for 40 years. I never heard her cuss. And I'm like, baby, damn is in the Bible. And if you're going to be more holy than the Bible, I don't know how I can live with you.
Well, it's working.
It is.
I try to encourage her to cuss a little bit. Like, come on.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to get the comments. They're going to start flooding in now.
No, listen, here we go. My mouth is full of the word of God. But, you know, hello, Pastor. How are you, sir?
Let's bring in the other pastors that we have here.
So you want to redo the intro?
I've never heard you cuss.
Well, I think we're heading to North Carolina together, so
we'll
travel together and see what happens. See what happens.
If I have to rebuke the devil, I will, but if not, I'll go, okay, well, that wasn't that. I hear Suwannee cuss all the time.
That is not true.
In multiple languages.
That is not true.
Pastor Suwannee Calera is also with us here today.
Yeah. My English classes with Pastor Troy are not a proper English. I'm kidding. I'm learning Texans.
Jill Jacobs, there's a shirt that she finds funny. I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
Yeah, I love Jesus. Jill definitely cuss a little. But I mean, Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not gonna. Can we move on?
Yeah,
we
can. Hey, you brought it up.
Somebody will show me. They're like, they'll have, you know, they'll be like missing a finger, and I'll be like, what happened? They'll be like, I shot it off, and I always say, did you say a bad word? Like that's supposed to be the highest priority we have. But I always ask.
Oh
like,
my gosh!
Actually, I did.
That's hilarious.
Hey
man, when that bear chased you. Did you cuss or did you pray? Sometimes you do both at the same time.
You do both, yeah.
And you're professing the word of God and using flowery language, you know, in the midst of it. So anyway, hallelujah.
Anyway, hallelujah. We got a lot to talk about today.
180.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes. There's people all over the planet Earth. Man. I'm looking at everybody here.
Okay,
I'm
we literally, different countries. People from all over the world. Let me scroll to the top of my list here. We have Ragtag Hero from Poland. We have Deborah in the UK. I saw Wasilla, Alaska. We got Vicky Hodges from North Carolina. We have Robin Lee Day, our good friend from Arizona. Tom and Barbara Walter from Fredericksburg. Anna Barber driving in from Linden.
You know what? She's always driving in somewhere. So she's coming to church tonight.
Oh,
yeah, she's actually coming to church tonight. We're starting our ladies' conference tomorrow. Yeah.
Tonight's a very special service,
and
though.
Tonight is, yeah, because I'm anointing my son, Pastor Benjamin Allen Brewer. Yes. We're also anointing Pastor Gina Zagetti.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Isagire.
Muy bien. Good.
Gracias. And so he's going to be here. We're going to be anointing him. And there's somebody else we're anointing. I don't remember.
Janet.
Oh,
Janet Oon.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
So right on. The prophetic painter from South Korea.
Wow.
And she's going to be here for the whole ladies' conference. Yes. And that's going to be really good.
Yeah, if you're local, come out tonight. It's going to be a special one.
India is in the house. Hello,
whoa!
Ephraim. What's going on, brother?
Look at that.
Hey, man, we bless you in Jesus' name.
Sasquatchin, Canada.
Yeah, so where is it? Where is it from?
Sasquatchin.
It's not Sasquatchin.
No.
Sasquatchin is what Tony Merkel does.
Sasquatchin is what Sasquatchin. I will say.
What is it?
It's a verb.
I said it like 20 times before the show started. What is it?
Sasquatchin.
Sasquatchin.
Sasquatchuan.
No,
I'm sweating.
Not. What is it?
I'm trying to mess around. She's going with it.
Saskatchewan.
Hey, man, we want to welcome all of our Canadian friends, our friends from India, all of our friends that are in Uganda, our new friend from Poland, man. We bless
that's
you.
That's awesome.
And lots of other people. Cincinnati is on here. Maryland is
on
here.
Guys. Thank y'all for sharing where you're from.
Alabama. Man, we bless you guys. Guys, I hope that you will come out and join us for our ODX weekend that's going to be coming up that is exclusive to our ODX partners where we get together and we just do life together for a couple of days. We're going to do an outreach. We're going to have dinner together. I'm paying for everything. All you got to do is get here. And then we're actually going to be showing a brand new movie and you guys are going to get to see it first, a new movie we just made. Also, I'm going to Nashville tomorrow and I'm going to be in a brand new movie.
That's so cool.
Another movie.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the name of that movie is?
I don't remember. I don't know if I've known it offhand, but you're going to be filming with them.
It's a movie really about fighting trafficking, and they have given me a part in it, and I'm so happy to come out there. And we're going to be filming all day long tomorrow in Nashville, and then I'm going to be with Tony Merkel on Friday, on Friday. And Pastor Ron's going to be with me on that trip.
Yes. No, I'm going to North Carolina with you.
Oh, that's
Alan DeDio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Next week, we're going to be at the Alan DeDio. And then I'm going to be on the annual bear hunt.
And I heard you have a special guest coming up.
I do.
You.
Leanna, I'm going to be
really?
Along.
What?
Yeah, Leanna's going.
That is, I
know.
I didn't know that.
Well, she's gone. So listen, not that there's an evil plot upon my part. But she's going to be in a tent with me out in the woods all day. I doubt if we'll do very much bear hunting.
I said, I don't think Pastor Troy's going to catch a bear this year. I'm just saying. He's going to be distracted.
They're just circling.
They're just walking
around.
He's
a
little distracted this year.
We'd never know.
You guys can go.
Yeah, he's like, bear smears, man. Who cares? Anyway.
You're going to be in charge of the kitchen this time.
Okay, right on.
Cooking in the cabin.
So that's going to be a good trip. We're going to go fishing, and we're going to do a whole lot of fishing up there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So praise God. All right. What do we need to tell everybody?
Okay, well, let me just say a few quick reminders. So you mentioned ODX weekend, so save the date for that, October 17th. And ladies, we have the Women's Conference this weekend.
Yes.
And so if you are not able to make it here in person, guess what? You can get a ticket and you can watch on Brushfire, or you can sign up as an ODX Stage 3 member. And you can become a Stage 3 member, and you'll be able to have access to our conferences throughout the year. So let's just say go ahead and do that.
Let's remind everybody of that. So if you... So, guys, we have a lot of Stage Street members, and I'm so grateful for all of you guys. Mm-hmm. And it's a big monthly commitment. I mean, I think $49 is a big monthly commitment. With that said, not only do you get access to thousands and thousands of hours of video content that is on our platform, ODX.TV, but you also get free tickets to our conferences, and you can watch it live online, and you get free tickets. Mm. And so everybody else is just like our New Beginnings conference is coming up in January. Mm-hmm. That's a $77 ticket. Not if you're third stage. You can sit at home and you can watch it. Wow. And so that's a gift that we give to all of our people that keep a monthly commitment with us to help us raise the kids, over 6,000 yes. kids that are under our care all over the world that requires millions of dollars a year. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so, I double dog dare you to do that, man.
Yeah, this conference is going to be awesome, but you have access to all the stuff all the time. Yes. So, you know, I mean, you can never have too much of us, right?
No.
Look, never. We're a fun tribe.
People are riding in and they're like, yeah, he's not hunting for bear. He's going to be bear hugging. That's what he's
hugging. That's funny. Like that.
Yes.
Well, I hope so.
That's Hallelujah. Awesome. All right. Well, and speaking of ODX, we want to let you know that we have a bunch of new content loaded up there. Pastor Troy was actually at the Rev 17 conference this past weekend. That's going to be the next thing to be uploaded as soon as we get that. But we've got your recent appearances on Unclassified and the Flyover Conservatives podcast. We got a bunch of stuff there. Also, Pastor Leanna has a ton of content on ODX.TV. So, ladies, if you haven't seen Pastor Leanna's She Shepherd show, go to ODX.TV and check it out. She's got a lot of stuff loaded up there as well. And I mean, that's a great place to be a hub. And as Pastor Troy said, when you sign up at ODX.TV, you're helping us rescue more kids. So you're getting content and you're helping us rescue more kids. We do all of this so that we can do that.
Right on, man. Well, all right, let's get off into this because we got a lot of things to talk about here today. Having Pastor Swanamy with us is a really big deal. Pastor Swanamy, I like to say, is my bravest rescuer.
Yes.
And she's rescued. We have a lot of rescues. We're actually going to be talking a lot about our rescuers today. You guys are aware that we are in a time of mourning, although we are also in a time of getting with the program because we have a lot of work to do. But one of our brave rescuers passed away and died suddenly last Friday. And we put together some tributes and whatnot, and people were disturbed over it. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So just know this. Just hear me say this. Thomas was a good friend of mine, and he finished well, and I love him, and I praise God for him. So, and you were actually with me whenever all that happened, yes. Pastor Swami. You were with me and all of this. And people are also in a time of mourning, and they got mad at me and all the baloney that goes with that. But with that said, I put together a great tribute.
It was beautiful.
I put together a great tribute, man, that honored him and honored his family in a tremendous way, and we still got a lot of hate over it. So we took it down because there's people mourning that were mad and upset over it, which I don't know why they would do that. You know, how dare you say something wonderful? But nonetheless, with that said, I'm going to live out the rest of my life. I'm doing this, rescuing kids. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to rescue kids, and we're going to continue to not only to rescue these kids, but we're going to continue to rescue rescuers.
Yes.
And you know something about that, don't you?
Yes.
And so we actually just did a video here a few minutes ago, Pastor Swan and me. Stop. Have you guys ever heard me tell the story about the little girl that they came into our home and they took away our child, a child that we had rescued? Her name is Franciella. And is it Franciella or Franciele?
Not Franciella.
Okay, I thought so.
Is it good?
And they came in, they got her. And then I had this crazy pastor friend of mine that went down to the Amazon and went down and got her back. Yeah, you're the crazy woman that did that. And I honest to God, I was so scared you were going to get killed. I mean, I was terrified.
You were.
I was. I mean,
but it's because you really care. You really care about us.
I care about all of our rescuers. Mm-hmm.
Were you scared?
No. Well, I had Mario in case I need anything with me. But no, let me tell you this. Just mentioning about our friend, one of the bravest rescuers too. That we just, you know, that he just went ahead of us in this. Something that I have to say about that is there's some of us that we don't see past this work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some of us that we don't see past Troy Brewer and be hand in hand doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if it's a place that I will love, you know, to be honest, that this will happen and that the Lord will call me, it's working in his fields.
Yeah.
And I will love for that being, you know, where you can do a tribute for me. It will be amazing. I know how fantastic it will be. But let me tell you this. I keep seeing the work that this church does, that this ministry does with all mm-hmm. the people that support this ministry. Mm-hmm. Because our mission is just, we always said, not just rescue the kids. We mm-hmm. also rescue the rescuers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also have to keep them rescued.
Yeah, we have to keep our rescuers rescued.
Yes.
Yeah. Their marriages will fall apart at a mm-hmm. drop of a hat because they're all crazy guys.
Yes.
And these guys have put their wives through hell through the years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we get a hold of them, and we love them, and we teach them to be good dads and to be good husbands.
Yes, because also their kids. We have to rescue their kids.
And like, hey, I don't have a single close friend. And you know, I recently had a conversation with a guy. I'm not going to tell you who, but I told him, I said, you know, man, my great desire is not only to get you funded and get you operational and all that kind of stuff. I said, but my great desire is to be like your best friend. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you guys know I'm like
you
that.
Yeah, you
I'm
do.
Like that with everybody. Mm-hmm. And like, no. I want to be friends. I don't want to work with you if we can't be good friends. And like, I will be a good friend to you. But then I told him, you know, man, I don't have a single close friend that's not a good husband. I don't have a single close friend, man, that's not a good dad. And I told him this just a certain person a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to have to work on that, man. And I tell these guys, and once I gain their respect mm-hmm. and these rescuers all over the world, once I gain their respect and we become friends, mm-hmm. I hammer them and say, you will be a better husband, man, to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never had anybody talk to them like that. They mm-hmm. never... They're like, wow. And I'm like, come on, man. You will be so full of regret and misery if you go out and rescue all these kids and lose your own kids.
Correct.
I witnessed that.
Yeah, I witnessed that on our trips. It's always such a high value for our marriage, our families. You know, you keep talking in every trip about Liana and the relationship and to poor. You actually earn the trust mm-hmm. of the people that is close to you to trust you with those
yes
like very private things, you know, that you mm-hmm. go and said, now I need to talk to you as a friend
mm-hmm.
but as a brother, big brother, you know, as a my older brother on this mm-hmm. and it's not a single time that I don't hear you saying you need to go after your wife and your kids before you go after them.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know? None of the wives know I do that.
Yeah.
None of the wives know I do that. All they see is, hey, man, there's a big improvement in my husband. And just because we're pouring into those guys and saying, this is what you do, dude. You need to do this. Mm-hmm. You need to do that. You need to do that. And, dude, you need to be there because none mm-hmm. of these guys want to be home.
No.
Mm-hmm. And the reason when a man doesn't want to be at home when he's a warrior is because he's scared of himself.
Wow.
It's because he's ashamed of himself.
Yes.
And I know that. I've been working with these guys for long enough that I understand. I do. You know, I have one close friend of mine that I went to high school with. He went off in the military the day, like a couple of days after our high school graduation. He stayed in the military until he was in his mid-50s.
Wow.
Okay. Like, how did he do that? He became a contractor, yada, yada. And he was gone 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not, he just wouldn't come home. And he had kids, but he was so messed up from war. Yeah. You know, he's in the CIA, and he was an interrogator. He was an interrogator. Yeah, and I mean, he was a brutal guy.
We don't know the things that they
go
through.
You just don't know how hurt these guys are. I think it's a great ministry, and I think it's something really unique with us that we can mm-hmm. find these guys. Because you rescue one, he knows all the other operators. And he also knows that their marriages suck, and he also knows that they're not funded, and they're poor, and they're gone all the time. Well, yes. I look for those guys, and I want to fund them, and I want to pour into their lives. Mm. I want them to know that Jesus loves them, and that they're not too screwed up for Jesus. And I want them to know that it's not too late to fix their marriages and to fix their relationship with their kids.
Yeah. Some of these people don't know that this ministry have been rescue mm-hmm. them as we rescue the rescuer.
Yes.
One of our trips, one of them shared with us that something that they learn in the military is to suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's right.
And when they become here with us, they know that it's okay to share your vulnerability when you have Jesus to fulfill that. So no more silence for Jesus. You know, he knows.
That's right.
But you are able to, you can speak. So a lot of these, we live in their trips. We are family.
Yeah.
When we're traveling together, we know what we're going through. We understand each other. And it's something different that in this specific trip that we went to California, I was on the table with him, and he was planning to attend this conference
that we're going to talk about in Panama.
We were talking about Panama, and he mentioned how you know, he said, "Can I bring my family?"
Wow.
And one of them was Scott as well, you know, and we were talking with other people there in the table, and we were like, "Hey, you, why you don't bring your family?" Because this conference, we have been prepared this conference for more than a year to be something to equip, prepare, and pour into our rescuers and the people that they work with. So I'm just saying that this is the Lord, and we planned for it before knowing all these, you know, we didn't know this was happening. And it just surprised us, and It was a different trip, but we talk about the importance that we were doing with this conference, because this conference is made, and the intent of this conference is rescue the rescuers, but also keep them rescued.
Yep.
Because they need support.
Yeah, they need the body of Jesus to stand with them is what they need.
Yes.
And it's like so many missionaries that are out there. You know, man, okay, you got a church, and like, hey, man, we support this guy at $20 a month. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. How about you be supported at $20 a month and see how far that goes? Oof. You shouldn't have a badge on your wall that says you support somebody, a missionary who is risking their life, who has given up their life, who is raising their kids out there. That shouldn't be a badge that you're supporting them at $20 a month. That's a little bit ridiculous, actually. So we have that same attitude with all of our rescuers all over the world. And you put this, one of the speakers that, and by the way, we have 80 people coming, 80 different rescuers. We're paying $1,500 a piece for these cats to come out there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're sponsoring everything. Their lodging, their flights to get there to Panama, their meals every day, and also we're paying for the speakers to be there, to pour into them.
That's
together
great.
With a team that will ministry them inner healing.
Wow. Okay, guys, there is a woman that is speaking there that years ago, some almost 25 years ago, her daughter, her 22-year-old daughter, was abducted by the cartel. She was sold as a sexual slave, and the mama began to look for her. Do you know how the mama went to look for her? She went to work in the brothels. I want you to think about this. A woman that was in her, probably her 40s, right? Her early 40s, desperately wanted to find her daughter. And so she went to work in brothels looking for her daughter. We know these people. These are the kind of people that we know and we love and we support and we bless and we encourage. And I want to tell you, As she's working in these places, she is risking her life and writing down names. She's writing down clients. She's writing down who's connected to who. And then she worked with the government. They did a bust. They shut down the entire cartel, and they rescued over 3,000 girls in one day. Mm-hmm. In one day. And are you ready for this? She never found her daughter.
Oh. Mm. She's still looking for her daughter.
Wow.
She's still looking for her daughter.
After 24 years.
Okay.
Wow.
See, we have to rescue these people. And we know this, and we have been doing this for a long, long time. We're about to spend all this money on gathering 80 of these rescuers together, putting them in a hotel, bringing them all to Panama. They're all Latin American people. Yeah. They're all Spanish-speaking people. And we're about to do this. And I'm so glad that you're doing this, Pastor Suwanami.
Thank you. No, well, you know, it's our calling. And let me tell you, we have some of these operators and rescuers and directors of homes, and also people that work with the government in this specific trafficking, human trafficking area that we are sponsoring for them to come and receive. But the registration was open. We have people that we have never seen in our lives that they have been working with victims, that they did an application, reach out to us, and we're sponsoring them because that's our assignment as the as kingdom.
Wow. Yeah.
We don't gonna love them because they're not connected with us, because they don't know how many kids at risk. You know, they are filling up an application to get this scholarship, and they're saying, we work with victims. Please, I need to be in this conference and be, you know, pour into, like, all of those. So we're saying yes.
This is like over this 4 days, it's not just the conference like you think of, oh, we go to a conference, there's a fun service, and we're all getting hyped. Like, we're equipping them. There's ministry time. Correct. Aren't they meeting with, like, therapists?
Yes.
And all things like that to help give them the tools to continue to be really effective and healthy in what they're doing.
4 full days of just pouring into our rescuers. They will see therapists there. They will, I'm telling you, even a group of people that is coming just to minister to them, like inner healing, trauma. We have these people that has been working with the government, support, all of that. And let me tell you, they just count with the people, you know, the Jesus followers, Jesus disciples, because nobody else will pay for a ticket for them to continue to rescue kids.
Listen, guys, this is what we do. And we're about to tell you some specific stories, and we're also going to tell you some specific projects. But how about I challenge you and say this? Will you help us with this? Yes. Because, guys, we I'm just going to throw this out there and tell you, anything that you guys give is going to make a difference. We have over $4 million in projects right now that need to be funded, okay? But let me focus on this one, this one single project. $1,500 to send a rescuer to Panama. That includes their flight, that includes their feeding, and that also includes their hotel. Yeah. And then 4 days of pouring into those guys with the best rescuers in the Latin American world together under the same roof. Mm-hmm. We don't just say people need to be unified. We unify people. This is a great move in the body of Jesus. And this thing is going to start, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every year. This is Pastor Suwanami's baby. Mm-hmm. She is birthing this thing, and she's doing it under the banner of Troy Brewer Ministries. Will you please give today?
Yes.
Come on, I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to go. It's time for me, man, to start giving to this thing. We rescue about 1,000 kids a year. We're about to rescue our 13,000th kid. Mm-hmm. We're about to celebrate that. And I don't know how many more kids we have to do this, but it's not very many. It's just a few more kids, and we're going to have rescued 13,000 children. And now, guys, we got to keep them rescued. Now we have to feed them. I mean, I know that none of you guys want me to turn these kids over to the government systems throughout the world.
Correct.
Well, even if you did, I wouldn't do it. Because I'm telling you, it is nefarious, man. It is nefarious. But guys, not only do we want to rescue these guys, not only do we want to rescue the rescuers, not only do we want to bring them together, because then we're going to build a network out of these different organizations, and we're going to keep everybody cross-pollinating. We want to teach the rest of the world how to unify. Amen. And we want to teach the rest of the body of Jesus how to unify and say, this is what we do. This is how we do this. And guys, if you want to mail in a check, mail it to Troy Brewer Ministries at P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. You can also call the number on your screen. Call 877-413-0888, or you can go to troybrewer.com. You can do that.
I just want to say a shout out. First of all, thank you to Angela, who just donated $50 on YouTube.
Come on, Angela.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. And there was another anonymous $40 gift that came in just before that.
Thank you.
So thank you, guys. However you're choosing to get in this fight with us, we appreciate it so much. We do all of this so that we can rescue kids, so that we can host incredible conferences in Panama and equip rescuers from all over the world. Also, Kathy Mobley said, Pastor Suwanami, it is time for you to write a book. Yes. You have stories to tell.
She can't write. She can't even read.
I'm going to use Pastor Troy for it.
So listen, there you go.
Listen, I'm going to tell you how smart she is. How many languages do you speak?
Why would I have to talk?
No, how many languages do you speak?
Four? No, three.
Oh, three, but even three.
Yes, that's amazing. Spanish, English, Portuguese.
That's exactly right. Okay, how many degrees do you have?
Right now, just one, but I'm working on getting two more.
What is the degree that you have?
In criminal justice.
Yeah, as a lawyer. You're, and so you are also a lawyer in Mexico. You're a Mexican lawyer, which that comes in handy all the time. It's one of me. You're one of the smartest people ever.
No, thank you.
And you're just awesome. Praise so proud of you, man.
See what the Lord can do with people like me.
I know. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Nuts.
Okay, so let's talk about a rescue. Let's talk about rescues.
We have a surprise for you.
Oh, what are you about to tell me?
I'm not going to tell you. We do have a surprise for you.
Let me tell you something, guys.
If I got invited into this table, it will always be so worth it. So I'm not going to give you the news. Somebody else will. You probably will recognize his voice. Let me see.
You're going to have to hold it by the microphone if you want me to hear it.
Hey, Rhonda Davis, thank you for that donation. $100.
You're calling somebody?
Hello, friend. How are you?
Fine. And you?
Very well. You're live. Let me just tell you that on the Pulse with Pastor Troy.
Hi, Pastor Troy. How are you?
Well, I'm fine as frog hair. How are you? What's going on, Lady Varg?
Paola is one of our rescuers in Mexico. And she was like, hey, I need to talk to you. Please connect with me. And I'm like, no, I'm about to go on air with Pastor Troy. And she said, well, I have great news. And then I said, well, why don't you tell the news to all of us together?
What happened, Pastor Paola? What happened?
Okay, well, we are excited because we are rescuing two children, Pastor Troy.
Two more rescues today.
The state of Mexico, Mexico's anti-trafficking prosecutor's office.
Excellent.
Today, they had formally requested that take into two sibling survivors of human trafficking, a brother and a sister.
A brother and a sister.
Because they are sister and brother, and they want to be together. And
of course,
that is something that it's more difficult to find a place that take them together. So we say yes.
Of course.
So thank you. And it was their own family that exploited them, and they have no support to network to return to.
Wow.
Which is exactly why the state prosecutor identify us as the right place for their...
Why, Paola? If they don't have a network, what that means for us? Tell people is listening what that means for TBM and for this family, that they will last how long with us?
Okay. they have to be together and with us
forever
until, several years. One of them is in high school.
Wow.
And
how old is him? How old is one of them?
16, the boy.
Okay.
16 years old.
Okay. Another boy then.
Yeah, aww. A boy and a girl.
We have an urgency for that home. Wow.
Yeah, we do.
The other is 14 years old.
16-year-old boy and 14-year-old girl.
Wow.
Okay, well, listen, Paola, we will get that boys' home finished built. Yes. We will. I just got through telling everybody we got projects, and that's one of our projects. We will get that thing built, and we will finish this in Jesus' name, and we're so proud of you.
Yay!
And we praise God for this 16-year-old boy we just rescued, 14-year-old girl, and for the work that you're doing. And, man, we praise God for you. Thank you. We love you.
We love you, Paola.
Paola, tell us where you're going to be next week.
Yeah, I'm traveling to Panama.
With how many more rescuers are coming from your area that we are sponsoring?
Rescuers and me.
Three?
And we are so happy to be here with you. Yeah.
Okay. It's the psychologist that we have. They have our kids. It's coming. One of our rescues.
Yeah.
Then now she wants to be an activist.
Yes.
Wow.
And she wants to do that. How old is she?
Is she 18 or 19?
20 years old.
There's 20. No 20. Way she's 20 already.
But she just turned 20. Wow. Remember?
Yes. I love her so much. Hey, listen. I know who you're talking about, and you tell her I love her. You tell her I think about her all the time.
Okay.
I hope she's doing so
good. She's starting her career with these.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she.
We rescued her in Cancun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. We're very happy. Okay, Paula. Okay. Thank you. Thank great you. News.
Yes, thank you, and see you soon.
Okay.
Thank you,
Pastor. Bye. All right, how about them apples? Two new rescues.
Cool.
16-year-old boy, 14-year-old girl, brother and sister, that their family was selling them, which happens all the time. We fought that all over the world, that the families will get together and say, hey, let's sell these kids to make money, and they do that. But they're out of that mess now, and now we're going to be their family.
Correct.
Wow.
I mean...
When they don't have this network of support, what that means is they can't turn it to anyone else.
Yeah. Wow.
If we keep them together, they will remain with us because what happened is that we can give these kids an adoption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's do it. So here's what we do. Are you ready for this? Let's take care of them forever.
Yes.
And that's how that works. And that's what we do. We do that all over the world. Mm-hmm. So they'll end up with a forever home. They'll end up going to a college of their choice. They'll end up being professionals. They'll end up becoming rescuers themselves. Yes. And you and I are the ones that's going to fund all that.
Can you imagine this boy, tell him you're rescued, but just 2 years. Two more years.
And 2 more years, you're out on the streets.
What are you going to do?
The CPS system would do here in the United States.
2 years is not enough.
And they would separate them. And they would probably end up in the home of, two homosexual men or some woke bunch of baloney that, some horrible thing here in the United States. No, man, this is why the body of Jesus has to intervene. And while we have to do this with excellence, and we have to do it continually. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, okay, I'm done. I'm doing that.
It's not a one-stop. It's not just the rescue. No. It's so much more. No,
I promise that as soon as you hear those ages, you immediately think that it's just 2 years what you have to just try to redeem all like 18, 16 years where the enemy were trying to destroy them. Do we have a time frame? No. Like for us,
also too, once we get our boys home built, okay, in Mexico City, is it true when I say we will be the only boys home for trafficked kids in the entire nation?
Mm. Yes, sir. It's true.
Okay. Wow. We're already got the license. We have already got the property. Mm-hmm. We've already got the team of people to do the work. Mm-hmm. We've already got the staff. We have everything. Mm-hmm. All we need is $650,000, man, to finish the building. That's what it is we need.
It's just money.
It's just money. And we don't care. So, hey, I'm asking you, are you somebody who can give? And are you somebody who can help us? Because I promise you, the second we get this thing finished, and as soon as the government puts the okay on it, they will go and rescue a bunch of boys that they know need to be rescued, who are literally slaves right now, that they have no place to put. So do you know what they do with those boys whenever they rescue them now? They put them in a jail. Mm-hmm. They put them in jails. And then while they're in jail, and of course they're treated well by the police officers and everything, but they have to go in jail because they have to be protected. And so there they go. And then let me tell you what happens. They'll stay there a week, 2 weeks, and then they let them go. Mm-hmm. Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Okay, then who do they call when they get out? They call their traffickers because it's all they know. And they go right back into slavery. They go right back off into slavery. We can break that cycle. We can break it for an entire nation. Mm-hmm. If you guys will help me raise this $650,000 for this thing. And I encourage you guys, please
help us.
Help us.
Thank you to everyone who has been giving. I've been seeing comments. Some people gave on ODX.TV. Some people gave on Troy Brewer. Some people are giving right here on YouTube.
Wow,
so guys, thank you so much for partnering with us right now. Thank you. I mean, you see, we're over here talking about a conference happening. And then at the same time, we're finding out new rescues. It's like the net of this ministry is cast so wide and it truly never stops.
Yes.
It never stops. And so if you're looking for somewhere to sow good soil where you can look and see that's the product of my sowing, my seed, you couldn't find a better ministry. You really couldn't.
Okay. Yeah. Praise God. Now, look, I know I know. Listen, we have a lot of different things to talk about today. A whole lot of different things to talk about. But I want you guys to help me on this. That we have another 45, almost 20, we got about another 20 minutes before we go behind the veil.
And we're going to, behind the veil, if they stay with us, I'm going to give a little bit more of what we just share on these.
About the kids?
Okay, yes. Good. And you guys are the main rescuers here. Because rescue the rescuer require another rescuer that understand that. So
okay.
Everyone
so
there
you're,
is.
So you're going to be sharing those kinds of things more. Behind the veil. That's going to be fun. So if you're watching on ODX, again, we're not going to go there for another 20 minutes because I'm going to talk to you about, hey, are you a disciple? Mm-hmm. I'm actually about to do that. And I'm going to share something with you. But it's going to be really good.
It will be good.
That will be good. And also, too, man, you might have some questions for Pastor Swanmi. You might have some questions for me. You might have some questions for Pastor Ryan.
Yeah, we're watching for him.
I can't imagine why anybody would ask you questions, but they might.
They might ask me questions. You never know.
Ask her. Ask, what's it like working with old Troy Brewer? Is that guy, like, horrible?
No. He's not horrible. Not at all.
No, tell it's you. Fun. You can tell the truth.
No, it's fun.
She actually leaves here crying every day.
That is not true.
And I'm like, why are you crying again? You're like, you're mean, and she leaves.
No, I don't know if I ever left here crying. I'm not a big crier, though.
No, you're not a big crier.
I'm not.
Swanmi is.
Unless it comes to, not publicly.
Yeah. No, you are. You're a big crybaby.
At times. At
moments. Well, I've cried more in the past 4 or 5 days than I've cried in a long time over the death of our friend, and I've cried a lot. I've cried a lot this last weekend. Boy, I was trying so hard not to start blowing snot on Sunday when I was up there.
Yeah, you were pretty. That was the most emotional I've ever seen you from the pulpit.
Yeah, I was, dude. I was fine.
I wanted to bring you up tissues, but then I'm like, would he want? Because then it's like acknowledging that you were trying to hold it back. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if he actually would want us to bring him tissues.
Well, that's okay. You know what? It's okay. And I, you know, it's all good.
I know.
I can't help it. I'm a human being and I love people. And we went through a very dramatic thing on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we sure did. And then in the midst of that, we're running a church and we're rescuing kids and we're raising our own kids and we got our stuff. And sometimes it's just a lot, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit of unrest about the whole y'all getting a tough time about honoring him. And I think I want to release a word that could make this right.
Okay.
That there's going to be a time where both of you will be able to speak about him and honor him in a room full and amongst people who are going to celebrate both him and the way that God used him as a godly creation for God's purpose. There will be a time.
Yeah, there will
and be. Y'all will be able to let loose and be able to totally, and there's going to be a freshness.
Yep.
There really is. Can I share one more word on the giving part too?
Sure.
This is one of the things that God's doing. Shay and I were talking about this morning. And whenever I share this, if you're in the chat, any of the platforms, if you can just type the words, what I'd like to see is calling refreshed. Type those two words, calling refreshed. And here's one of the things that the Lord's doing right now for people that give both of their time, their talent, and their treasure. Whenever you give to what God has called you to be a part of, what happens spiritually is that your calling to what you've been called to will experience a refreshment. I've seen it so much the past 5 years that disconnect, staleness, disinterest happens whenever you stop giving. This is not so just good. Financial. See, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth who were Gentile believers, and he was encouraging Gentile believers to send financial support to Jewish believers in Jerusalem.
Oh, so good.
So out of that spiritual blessing that Gentile believers experienced, Paul said, if you've experienced spiritual blessing from this, then you can support financially and material those who you now share spiritual blessing with. So what does that mean? Listen, as your brother in Christ, I say this as respectfully as I can. If you are called to be a part of this ministry, and we believe that you are, right now, in the name of Jesus, what I'm sensing so strongly is that across ODX, TBM, at Open Door, that every person who gives during this time, not just financially, but whenever God lays a gift and you give it generously and you give it happily, not reluctance or in response to pressure, but whenever you give, one of the things that the Lord's doing right now in this season is he's taking your calling and he's breathing on it fresh. Do you know why Pastor Troy's been able to keep saying yes for 4 decades now? Because he keeps giving.
Yes. Right. Everything. Everything.
Yes. That giving, the Lord breathes not on his ability to accomplish things or dream big dreams. The thing that keeps him connected to kingdom purpose is his willingness to be a generous giver. So whenever we give of our time, but please don't miss it. The minute we start looking at the scoreboard and we think that we've given too much, we'll check out. It happens all too often. But please don't miss God's invitation here, is that whenever you give, it's almost like you're agreeing that God has supplied every single thing needed for good works. Mm-hmm. Whenever you give and say, I'm going to give, and I'm not just giving to say that I gave. I'm not just giving so that I can have this person. I'm giving because I'm agreeing that God has called me to this, and I'm agreeing that what God gives me flows through me in a powerful way. So if God's blessed you financially, let it go through you to where he leads you to give it. And we're so glad that you're a part of this year. But God's breathing on our calling in a fresh way in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Good job. Good job, awesome. Buddy. And that is so real. And look at these new glasses that Shay got me. Hey, guys.
They're cool. Yeah.
Call the number. Call 877-413-0888. Guys, we have so many kids to rescue, mm-hmm. and we got a lot of work to do. And also, if you want to write a check to us, if you're an old dude like I am, and I don't trust the dadgum internet and a bunch of Chinamen going to get on there and steal stuff. So you can, that's what my dad used to say. You know what? You can write a check to P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. Or, you know, you can call the number or you can go to troybrewer.com. All right. Guys, whenever we come back, I'm gonna show you something that's going to blow your mind that has to do with discipleship. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're going to cut away to a reel by my very good friend, Miss Laura Logan. Watch this.
Have you had any encounters personally with demons?
I have.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, which one? What do you want to know? Yeah, you know what? I've had some pretty crazy things happen. I had the first year that I went to Uganda, which again was 30 years ago, my wife and I, we were in the Rwenzori Mountains, and I saw Laura. I was getting ready for bed, and we were putting the net around the bed, and I was putting the net over. My wife was already in bed, and she was leaning up against the wall. She had her back against the wall, and her feet were out on the bed, and as I was putting it up, I just looked at her, and she was staring past my shoulder, and I looked at her, and I was like, what? And she just went like this. And I turned around and looked, and there was a purple light about the size of maybe a quarter, something like that, that was, I don't know, about 5 feet in the air behind me. And I thought, what the heck is that? And I got on the bed. I kind of backed up like, what is that? And I couldn't figure out what it was. And it wasn't illuminating anything, but there was a light. Now, there was no electricity in the house that we were in. And we were way up in the Rwenzori Mountains and near Fort Portal, Uganda. And I was like, what is that? And I got on bed and got all the way back and was looking at it. I was like, Leanna, what do you think that is? And all of a sudden, sister, a fear, like someone injected fear into my neck and filled my whole being with fear. A terror, a horror happened. And this thing started to crack and pop, and it started to make a noise. It sounded like distortion. And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice, and this thing spoke. And it spoke a horror upon me. And it spoke into my life, and it spoke into Leanna's life. And it said terrible things. And it talked about I was going to see her raped before I was beheaded. I would beg to be killed. I would beg for death. I would hope for death. And it starts saying these things. Well, me and Leanna, I was like standing against it, and I was rebuking it. And I mean, I was horrified. And this thing was so mean and so angry. And after a few minutes, I mean, it just wasn't budging. I literally put my forehead up against my wife's forehead, and we just started inviting the presence of the Lord into that room and say, Jesus, we need you. And it started to scream, stop it, don't, and boom, it was gone. And I was like, wow. So I got up, and there's no way I was going to go to sleep after that. And I went into the living room, and I had a candle. And as I went into the living room, I could see that there was already a candle in there. Mm-hmm. And that pastor whose house I was staying in, he said, is everything okay? And I said, no, everything's not okay, dude. was like, I just had a daggum demon manifest in my room and tell me all these horrible things that were going to happen, prophesied death into my life. And he said, did he tell you that you were going to see your wife get raped? I said, yeah. He said, did he tell you that he's going to behead you? I said, yes. And he said, this is the spirit that comes when the Muslim rebels are close. And we need to pray because they must be really close tonight. And we prayed. The next day we woke up and they came within 2 miles because they heard that there were Americans there and they actually were looking for us. And I didn't even have a grid for any of that at that time. And that was from there were so many kids that were orphaned because they murdered so many people that was actually the first home that we built in Uganda. So I can tell you that a devil did show up. I can tell you that Jesus showed up and ran him off. Well, my friends, you never know where you're going to be led to if you're going to be a disciple of King Jesus. And he will take you to dangerous places. He will indeed. Leanna and I have been in some dangerous places throughout our life in our ministry. And, I mean, I've actually seen guns pulled on her. I have, like, the times that I've really been scared actually involves Leanna. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of times I was scared by myself, but not like when I was with Leanna and Leanna or my kids' lives were threatened. And, you know, my son, my 16-year-old son, who's about to be 35 years old, he and I were kidnapped when we were in India. That was pretty scary. That was, like, really scary. That was back when he was 16. I've had machine guns pulled on my wife and my kids when my kids were very little. And, all the stuff. Had a pastor friend of mine. I was in Nicaragua. Had a pastor friend of mine that loved me with all of my heart. I've been down there with him for 2 weeks while I was literally on the missions trip with him. While I was down there, I went to the hotel. He went home, and there was an assassin waiting for him. And as he walked up to his house, somebody shot him in the head. And I had a friend of mine in India that his name was Prakash, who was murdered and thrown down in a well. And then three other, and those were Hindus that murdered them. And then three other pastors who were young men that we were personally discipling, they were arrested for the murder and charged with the murder. And because they were Christians, nobody would actually defend them. And they were in prison for years and years before finally we were able to get them out. But it was like 7 years, 8 years that they sat in a horrible Indian prison because they were Christians. No, you need to know, man, that if you're going to follow King Jesus and if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord, you're going to go places that you don't want to go.
Yes.
And as King Jesus told Brother Peter, you're going to wear somebody else. You're going to be dressed by somebody else, and you're going to go places that you don't want to go. That's actually part of being a disciple of King Jesus. So I want to take you guys through something. Is that all right? We'll go quickly through this here over the next few minutes, and then we will actually go behind the veil, exclusive to everybody at ODX.TV, and me and Pastor Swami are going to share some details about some of the rescues we do and some things going on, particularly with these two kids we just rescued today.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Praise God. I can't wait to see their picture. I can't wait to go down there and go see them.
I know.
It's going to be crazy. All right.
It'll be crazy.
All right, so I'm going to be preaching a message on Sunday that has to do with following, picking up your cross and following him, okay? Because if we're not producing disciples of Jesus, we're not doing the right thing.
That's right.
We're not just trying to grow our social media platforms.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that are producing numbers, but they're not producing disciples. And, man, I'm going to stand before the Lord someday, and, man, I don't want to be guilty of that.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Wow. Whatever thing I get in trouble for, I don't want it to be that we didn't make disciples out of the nations because the Lord has sent us to all these nations. You know, Leanna is leaving for Croatia on Sunday, I think.
Albania. Oh, and Croatia, no, though. And, yeah, you're right.
Right. So,
sorry.
But is it Sunday? That's what I'm saying.
Yes, I actually knew Saturday.
She's leaving after the conference. That's what I was trying to figure out. Yeah. Is it Saturday or Sunday? Right after conference, Leanna's going to be in Albania. She's going to be in Croatia. Mm-hmm. She's going to be in Montenegro. She's going to be in Istanbul. And you know what she's doing in all those places? Yeah, Kosovo. Mm-hmm. She's going to be in Kosovo. I've never been to any of those places. But she's going to be going from one orphanage to another orphanage to another orphanage to another orphanage. And let me tell you what's going to happen out of those trips. She's going to see how those kids are starving. She's going to see how the teachers are not funded. Mm. She's going to see all these things. And then we're going to have to take it on. And the reason why she's doing that is because there's somebody that's on our team that has come to us and like, will you please come? And like, yep. And we're not looking to do one more thing, guys. We're so busy and we got so many things to do, but we're like, no, if the Lord brought that to us, we need to go. Okay. If you're going to follow Jesus, he's going to take you in. Every time he takes you somewhere, I promise you it's going to be over your head. And if you've been in ministry for a long time and you haven't been over your head, you actually haven't been in ministry. You've had a calling, but you haven't had a ministry. And like, man, Pastor Troy, is that true? I promise you that is true. It's true for me. I'm a little bit crazy now. Suwannamie, I guarantee you, I can't believe Suwannamie's not on drugs.
Oh my gosh. It's water.
There have been times that Suwannamie and I have laughed so hard, I thought I was going to pee in my pants. And there have been times that she and I have cried together so hard, I was afraid one of us was going to get hurt. We cried so hard. And like, we live in this strange bipolar world of being in over our head. And Jesus is the one who took us there.
Yes.
Oof. So, no you guys, doubt. Do you know where Jesus wants to live? Let's talk about where Jesus wants to live first and foremost. Where he wants to live is he wants to live in you, and he wants you to have a contrite spirit. He wants you to be broken.
Yes.
This is the house he chooses to live in, according to, I think it's Isaiah 66. Is that right? Where is my scripture right here? Where
on the next page.
Okay, I found it. Thanks, man. You guys are so awesome. Isaiah 66, he says in verse 1 and 2, he says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me?
Yes.
Where is that? And where is the place of my rest? Remember that. For all things, and by the way, rest is when God does not, it is not about visitation. Rest is about habitation.
Yes.
Okay. So where he habitates with his dominion and he gets to be fully him. Okay.
Yes.
So then he says, for all these things my hand has made and all these things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look. Oh, it's so good. But on this one will I look. On him who is poor, upon him who is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Okay. I want to talk about, because this is the entrance of discipleship. And this is the life we're supposed to live if Jesus has, let me tell you something. You're constantly going to say, I don't have enough. And we're not talking about financially poor. We're talking about being poor means you come before God saying, I realize I don't have anything to offer. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. You come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I didn't come here with fancy theology. I didn't come here because I figured it out. See, that's what Judas did. Judas came to Jesus saying, I've got something you need in me. And as soon as Jesus told him, I don't need that, he betrayed him. And he's like, no, you got to be poor in spirit. You got to come to me as the source. And then it says, a contrite spirit, who is poor and of a contrite spirit. Do you know what contrite means? It means laid out. That's what contrite. It means laid out on the floor. It's like, that's what it means.
True.
And then it says, and who trembles at my word. Okay, in grieving this week, I came across a picture of my friend Thomas. And when I was looking at it, man, my hand just started shaking.
Wow.
My hand just started shaking. And that's where Jesus wants us with his word. He wants us to tremble at his word, that we are consistently so broken before him that we literally, we're so desperate for him that we literally tremble at his word. Pastor Ryan, before I go to the Beatitudes, do you have anything you want to say about
it? We got to remember the Lord who's saying this. He says in Exodus, he says that you will be my special treasure.
Come on.
The Lord says up front. Whenever we think about what the Lord gets out of all this, like the motivation, his heart for it, is because he looks at each of us as his special treasure. And as such, because we're special to him and he treasures us, he's going to treat us a certain way. So this right here, it is an incredible invitation into being connected to his heart, which is why it's so important.
Psalms 51, verse 17. Right on. Somebody just placed that on here. And I encourage you guys to read it. In fact, let me go ahead and read Psalms 51, verse 17. If you'll back that up for me, buddy. Just it's on the scripture. If you'll just go up
comments.
Two or three comments. Right there. Right stop. There the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Yes. These, oh God, you will not despise.
Yes.
Love it.
These, oh God, you will not despise. And then it says, you will not, oh, that, I'm sorry, man. It's this is a hard, thank you, God, you will not despise. And then, and then she says, thank you, Lord, your strength is perfect in our weakness. And that is somebody to call, that is called, I see the glory of the kingdom. That's there's, a cool handle, by the way.
There's two things today, you know, with the 16-year-old and for the brother and sister that's being rescued. It's like, man, where do y'all, where's y'all's baseline to start that? Like, because these two are treasured by the Lord.
That's right.
They're special to the Lord. Before we know anything else about them, what are their names? Well, before we even know their names, what are their ages? Well, before we even know their ages. Yeah. The same thing is true in discipleship. Pastor Troy is talking about these guys that he gets around, and he doesn't call them out. He calls them up. He says, you got to get up here. The standard isn't me. The standard's not you. The standard's Jesus. Because you're treasured by the Lord, there's a certain expectation that we can have of each other.
When Jesus went to the Sermon on the Mount, only the disciples that followed him heard that sermon. Okay? And that's how the whole thing is set up. And then in, where is it? Is it Matthew 5 or Mark 5?
Matthew 5.
Okay, in Matthew chapter 5, whenever Jesus gets up there and whenever he preaches this word, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the entrance of being the disciple of King Jesus, Ms. Shea, the entrance is you got to come before him and go, okay, I'm not here because I have my act together.
Yeah,
I'm here because I recognize you have your act together.
That's
and
good.
I have nothing to add to it.
That's good.
And he says, oh, that's what kingdom people look like.
Mm-hmm. I am bringing my desperation to the table.
Yeah.
I am desperate.
I saw someone that commented, I only have weakness after you read that verse. And it's like, that's great. That's a great place to start. Surrendering that. And that's what God can use, a contrite spirit and a broken heart.
The next part of that in the Beatitudes is he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Okay, I want to stop. And I want you guys to look at this verse. Because in all of the Beatitudes, okay, the seven special blessings, right? In all of these and by the way, there's not seven. Is there seven of them?
11. There's all the way through the verses go down to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's actually ten
verses, and then 11 is where bless you for mock you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in all of these things, it gives this is actually the call of discipleship. If you want to see what discipleship looks like, it looks like the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5, okay? This is what it is. Again, the first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. So first one is this. You come before God saying, I have nothing. I'm not here because I'm cool. I'm here because you're cool. I'm not here because I have power. I'm here because you have power. And then, you know what happens? You enter into the kingdom. That's first step. That's step number one. Second one is, blessed are those who mourn. And are you ready for this? They should be comforted. What is that? The power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Okay, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And if you want this, if you want this right here, and you want the power of the Holy Spirit, are you ready for this? You have to mourn. What is that? You don't mourn just over all the hell that's in the world. You mourn over, okay, mourning is when you say, there's been such a loss. There's been such a loss. My God, there's been such a loss. Okay, when you mourn with King Jesus, you're mourning over your own sin.
Yes.
And you're saying, you have lost so much because of me.
Woe is me.
Woe
for
is
I'm a man of unclean lips.
That's exactly
and I live among people.
He was broken and mourning as soon as he came into. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit falls.
Yes.
Okay, you want there to be a revival in your church. You want there to be a revival in your city, your county, your nation.
Troy.
It starts off with a brokenness before God. There has to be tears on the altar for the fire of God to fall.
Wow. That's good.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Man, and dude, the old Pentecostals understood this, man. You go to one of those old Pentecostal church services, everybody just goes in there and blows snot everywhere and cries and cries and cries.
The prophet said it too.
And then the power of God shows up.
The prophet said, you're going to drench it.
Come on.
Go ahead. You drench mine, leave yours as dry as you want. And the Lord will set that one on fire. You're exactly right.
So true. Third step of discipleship. Man, let's look at it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So now we're moving into inheritance. So first we moved into the kingdom, then we moved into the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Now we're moving into inheritance. Okay, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. But it says, who gets that? Blessed are the meek. Okay, the Greek word here that is used for meek is the same exact word that is used in the Greek that describes how you break a horse. So blessed are the meek. Okay. Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, it is the power of self-control, but more than that, it is God Almighty. I am conformed to my master. Yes. When he tells me to go right, I go right. When he tells me to go left, I go left. When you're meek, you're ready to get with the program. It's not that you don't have any other ideas. You already defined that yes. whenever you first showed up. Yeah. So this is man. If he moves me right, I will move right. If he moves me left, I will move left. That's what it means to be meek. It means to be completely controlled by him. Okay. Mm. Next one after that. Next one is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay. The newer translations say satisfied. And I want to leave this scripture up here for a minute. This is so good. Dude, you're doing a great job. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, when Jesus said, there's so much on this, but what do you have there?
Well, I was going to say, whenever you and I were talking about this, I'm okay to share what I share with you. I said, Pastor Troy, I said, I feel like I've seen the Lord do so much. Like I can be content, but I'm not satisfied.
Yes.
And I came to you and I opened up to you and I was like, I feel like I'm constantly like, Lord, like I'm not satisfied. I want to see more. I want to see this. And what did you tell me?
I told you that, okay, being satisfied in the Word of God, and some of those translations actually say you shall be satisfied. Being satisfied does not mean that you don't want more. Being satisfied means you do not have anxiety that you don't have access to it.
Yes. I love that.
So
that's a huge
satisfied.
Difference. That's a huge difference.
So I'm sitting at the table and I'm satisfied, meaning nobody's going to take this food away from me. This belongs to me. Everything's cool. So it means lack of anxiety over the thing you're going after.
Yes.
And you can eat as much as you want. I am satisfied with my wife, Leanna. It doesn't mean I don't want to kiss her more.
Yes.
It doesn't mean I don't want to be with her more. It doesn't mean any of those things, but I am satisfied. It means I have no anxiety that she's going to run away.
It's good.
And so I'm filled, but I'm still hungering and thirsting.
And it's so good in the order that Jesus is preaching this and teaching this in the order of how it comes after the other one. So
it's so awesome.
Yeah, please keep going.
Let's go to the next one. Well, the next one is merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Gosh.
I love that.
In crescendo. We are like,
oh. I like what you said in pastor's meeting where you're just like, y'all, like I'm going to be merciful whenever, you know, whenever y'all mess up or whenever you make a mess. And then I like what you said, you're like, I plan on messing up.
Yeah, I plan on messing up.
Yes.
I plan on messing
room for it.
Like, I guarantee you, like, any moment now. Let's see. Troy's about to really screw up. What time is it? Like, wow, it's doing great. It's doing great so far. And so, and I need mercy. And then finally, we have a couple more here. The next one is,
Blessed are
the pure in heart. For they should. All of this is discipleship. And by the way, I want you to look right here. I want you to look. This, by the time that you see God, you've already gone through 9 processes.
So good. Oof.
And some of you guys are like, hey, man, I'm doing this, doing that, and I'm not seeing God. I'm not seeing God. Okay, listen. Brother Job said, I love Brother Job. And Brother Job said, I look in front of me, and I don't see God there. I look behind me, and I don't see God here. I look beside me, and I do not see God. I don't see God anywhere. I long to hear him. I long to be with God. But he sees my ways.
Yes.
He's like, I don't know why I'm not seeing God. I don't know. It's coming. It's coming. And by the way, it came for Job. God Almighty showed up, and God did incredible things with him and spoke to him.
Wow.
But he had to go through a program of following God in sincerity of discipleship that got the entire cosmos' attention, by the way. Every creature in the cosmos. And like, I would love to talk to you about that because I got a different spin on Job. You're like, is this terrible that God and the devil would be playing with his life like that? Oh, you need to hear my spin on that. But let's just keep going, okay? And then the one after that, after you got a pure in heart, you got no other agenda, you got no other place to go. Every single plan B has been eliminated out of you, which you and I have to be committed in the discipline of following Jesus, which is called discipleship. Okay. And this is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemaking is not peacekeeping.
Yes.
Peacemaking is a pistol. A peacemaker is a pistol. A peacekeeper is a UN representative. Worthless. Worthless. Worthless is a good-looking nun. So there you go.
I love that, the difference between the two.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the two. Peacemaking is about taking care territory for the kingdom. Because concerning his kingdom and of his peace, there should be no end.
And this is Jesus saying
this. This is Jesus saying
That's
exactly right. The one after that, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to the next one.
That's the last one, I think.
Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is where Jesus will take you. And I know your seeker-friendly church has told you that you're going into this great self-help program. This is where Jesus will take you. Now, you'll be blessed. You'll be powerful. You'll be a son of God. You will see God. Oh. You will walk in your inheritance. You will see the power of God. No, this is not a poverty message. I promise you it's not.
Not one bit.
No. This is a blessed message. But you need to understand that people will revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you and falsely for his sake. And you know why? Because you're finally going to be effective. And you're finally going to bear much fruit. And the world don't like that. Boom. I'm going to be preaching this on Sunday. Yeah. We're about to go behind the veil, which we got to do this.
Yeah, we got
to
do that.
But now you listen, be a disciple of Jesus. Sign up for this program. This is too hard. Now, be a warrior and sign up to follow Warrior King Jesus and be a disciple and bear much fruit and glorify the Lord. And yeah, do those things. Warriors sign up for very difficult things. I was talking to a guy yesterday, a contractor. I was out at Redemption Ranch yesterday morning. I was talking to a contractor, and he said, and the guy spoke Farsi, and he said, "Yeah, I grew up speaking Farsi. So when I ended up in Iran or Iraq, when I ended up there, they found out that I spoke Farsi, and they're like, 'Hey, you want to join Delta Force?' You know, and it was the first year of Delta Force, and he knew what it was. And he goes, 'I can't tell you what you're going to be doing, and I can't tell you who you're going to be with. But it's going to be the hardest thing you ever been through, and you're probably going to get killed.'" And he goes, "Yeah, sign me up." That was how they sold it to him. That's how you sell something to a Delta Force type warrior. You don't say, "Dude, the air conditioning is nice. You're going to have a drink in a hand and toes in the sand, and it's just going to be so comfortable." That's not what you sell to a warrior. This kind of discipleship is made for warriors that are going to make impact and make a powerful difference. Father God, I lift up every single person, God, that is watching right now. Yes. And God, we sign up for this. And Jesus, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would bless us, Lord God, with the grace to be true disciples of you, because we must. Father, I lift up all my friends, God, that are watching all over the planet, different nations, different cultures. But God, we are all human beings, God, that desperately need you. Fill up our hearts, fill up our minds, and make us true disciples, Lord. And I love you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Behind the veil for some inside information from Pastor Swanamy about our two new rescues. And I'm so excited to dive in and hear more about that. Just want to remind you guys tonight, special anointing service here at Open Door Church. So tune in at 7 p.m. You're not going to want to miss
disciples,
it.
Not daisies. Somebody disciples, just wrote. Ooh, yes. I like that. I want to preach that
you're
on
gonna,
Sunday.
Yeah, you're going to use that. You're definitely going to use that. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back same time, same place next week. And if you're watching on YouTube, we're heading behind the veil, which means we're going to continue this conversation just over at odx.tv. So if you want to join us, go over there, sign up as a stage 2 or stage 3 member so you can continue the conversation on the other side. All right, guys, we will see you behind the veil.
This is Naomi, 16, 8 months pregnant, pulled from a river while running for her life from the evil men who had trafficked her. This is Emily, 15, betrayed by her own father and handed over to one of the most violent trafficking rings upon all the earth. This is Sophie and Anna, 12 and 15, sisters, sold into a life of sexual exploitation by their own mother. And this is Shravani, 8, vulnerable, sleeping on the ground with nobody to fight for. These faces all have one thing in common.
they are all set free. And they are just five of the 11,000 children that we've rescued all over the world. I'm Troy Brewer, and for over 30 years, my team and I have been rescuing kids from the horrors of human trafficking. And friends, we are not stopping. These are the faces of freedom. Get in the fight with us. Go to troybrewer.com or call 877-413-0888. Because there's another face out there right now, another child waiting for someone like you to step up and to say, not on our watch.